Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. From 1979 to 1993, Margaret Mitchell was the NDP MP for Vancouver East. She joins me now to discuss her recent memoir, No Laughing Matter, Adventure, Activism, and Politics. In her 14 years in Parliament, she advocated for affordable housing, multiculturalism, and redress for the Chinese head tax, among others. She discusses that as well as her life prior to and after politics. In 2000, she was appointed to the Order of British Columbia. No Laughing Matter retails for $24.95 and is from Granville Island Publishing. It is a highly readable and informative book on her years in public life, as well as a great view onto the city in those years. Proceeds of book sales will go towards the Margaret Mitchell Fund for Women, which supports women's self-help projects and scholarships. I am pleased to welcome to the Plant on the Line program Margaret Mitchell. Good morning, Mrs. Mitchell.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
The Margaret Mitchell Fund for Women, when did that begin?
Well, it really, the money started when I was a member of Parliament, and I refused to accept, at least to accept the traditional wage increase that they had voted themselves. I was opposed to it because of the poverty and so on in my riding. So, but they paid us anyway, the increase, and I put it into the beginning of a fund, and we added to that and eventually had it connected with the Van City Credit Union through the foundation that they have.
Some of the activities that the fund contributes to are what?
Well, it's a fund for women, for women, disadvantaged women largely, many of them living in the downtown east side of Vancouver, and it's priorities given to needs of women in my, what was formerly my riding. It's also, we encourage self-help. It doesn't go to agencies. It goes to groups of women who want to start self-help projects. And we also have a scholarship fund at the Native Education Center here.
The title of your book, No Laughing Matter, comes from where? Yeah, I guess you'd given a speech in the, you'd asked a question, I guess, in the House one time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't asked a question. I was making a statement. I was asking, going to ask a question, actually, regarding what was the government going to do about the high level of violence. One in 10 husbands or spouses beat their wives, and what was the government going to do about this? But I couldn't even get that out. All I just mentioned the one in 10. And the House, most of the men in the House broke out in laughter. This was a very jovial thing. And I was very, very angry. And, of course, I retaliated in very strong terms. And this started, made the issue quite lively across the country. A lot of people got involved.
You know, just reading that book, reading about it in the book and about the times, the reaction, if you'd done that today, the reaction would be totally different. I guess there's been really a shift in attitudes about domestic violence and things like that, hasn't there?
Well, of course, it became public at that time. I think that was one of the outcomes of my raising it. Prior to that, domestic violence had always been a secret, and it wasn't something that you should talk about outside the family, and the police wouldn't go in to protect women who were being beaten, and they had no very few resources for help. So when we had this really cross-country movement that started as after raising it in the House, my thoughts are just rambling there. After that, it became a very public issue, and the police began to intervene, and there was more legislation to protect them. Protect the battered women and more facilities such as transition houses.
This is viewed as quite a bit. I forget, in the book you mentioned some symposium or something and called it a turning point in feminism. I mean, you must be very proud of that sort of legacy, aren't you?
Well, of course, that was just an opinion, but yeah, I think I'm very proud that we all of us working together, all these projects are a result of women, the women's movement working with other groups across the country, and I'm pleased. Yes, of course.
You your background is in social work, is it?
Yes, I trained in social work, but not traditional social work. I trained in group work and then went into which I pioneered for the first time in Vancouver.
And you weren't born in Vancouver, right?
I was born in southern Ontario, in Rockville, Ontario.
How did you make it to Vancouver?
How did I make it?
Yeah.
Well, it's a long story. I went to McMaster University and then to the Toronto School of Social Work and worked for the YW for 5 years. And then I had an opportunity to go to Japan and Korea with the Canadian Red Cross, which started me on an international journey, I should say. From there, I had quite a life-changing experience when I was working in the Far East and related to the war in Korea. And then after that, I took my leave in that part of the world and traveled to Australia and did a lot of travel around the South Pacific. Subsequently, I did come back to Vancouver at that point and worked for a neighborhood house for a short while, and then I got a call to go to Europe when the Hungarian Revolution was on, and I worked in refugee camps in Vienna. Is that answering your question?
Yeah, it is, and that's where you met Claude?
I met Claude on the boat coming back from Australia. So I knew him in Vancouver briefly, and then when I went to Vienna, he came over and joined me there, and we were married over there.
Talk to me about his role in your career. Was he supportive of you going into politics?
Yeah, very. As a matter of fact, I discovered that, later that he was the one that was pushing it with the powers that be in the party, and he had, of course, seen me working in community things and overseas, so he thought that I'd be a good person to be a candidate when we had an opening in Vancouver East.
He seems, reading the book, he seems really like a fun guy.
Oh, he was a character. He shocked many people, but often it was deliberate, of course. Being an Australian, he didn't like people to take things too seriously. But we had a lot of fun together, and we traveled a lot and had lots of laughs.
When was the last time you were on a motorcycle?
Oh, heavens, I don't know. let me see, I guess it was, I probably was on one after I was a member of Parliament, so that would be, 79, in the 80s.
But he'd ride a motorcycle all the time,
Oh, he rode
right?
a motorcycle all the time. In fact, he later on had a motorcycle shop, and so he was very interested in motorcycles. I enjoyed it, too, but it wasn't too much time for motorcycling once I got into politics.
How did you join the NDP, and why the NDP, I guess?
Well, I was becoming, when I went to Toronto School of Social Work, I was exposed to people with many more radical ideas than in the small town I had grown up in, which was Cayuga, Ontario, incidentally. And a lot of people there were anxious not just for social services, but for social change. And I think it started me thinking that I'd like to do something that had some change emphasis in my life. And, of course, a number of the students, a lot of Jewish students that were in my class at that time, they helped start a union. And I guess from there I got exposed to socialists, although I didn't join a party at that point. It was some years before I got involved directly in the NDP, and that was when, around the time that Dave Barrett was elected in British Columbia.
You're still a member of the NDP today?
Oh, of course, yes. I'm still active in a supportive way, not quite as active on the front lines, but very interested.
Well, what's your view of the NDP today? I mean, people looking at politics see that people who ran for your party, you know, were premiers of your party, Bob Rae and Ujjal Dasange, and I guess this woman...
Well, I don't think you should choose them because they were the traitors.
Yeah. Do you think... what is the state of the party, do you think, and Was it just personal ambition on their part, or had the party changed for them?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them. But many of us who at one time worked with them, Bob Rae was my seatmate, and Ujjal Dasange, he appointed me as head of a human rights commission out here. But I felt it really was quite shocking that they switched loyalties, because the Liberals hadn't really produced and don't have the same kind of ethics that our party has.
Is the party, do you think, still relevant federally? I mean, we're seeing a great rise of the Green Party.
Well, that happens all the time. You know, when I was there, we had periods when some elections people would say, oh, the NDP's going out of existence, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'd bounce back. And we have a very, very loyal constituency of people right across the country. I think in many ways, of course, we can be allies with the Green Party because they have the certainly on environmental issues we would see eye to eye, I would think. But younger people sometimes want something new and different, and perhaps that's what's happening.
Looking back at the 14 years you were the MP in Vancouver East, and looking at your riding today, what are you proudest of?
Oh, I don't know. I think really just being close to people and able to represent them, and I enjoyed people in the riding very much. Particularly, it was such a multicultural riding. I was glad that eventually we were able to get the Chinese head tax, an apology for the head tax. That took a long, long time, and I was the person who introduced it in the House. And the work that we did, I think the work that the women's movement did to ensure that there was equality was protected in the Charter of Rights was a very important movement. Also, while I was there, there was the abortion was decriminalized, and there were, you know, quite a number of women's concerns that were dealt with.
Talk to me about the downtown east side and what's happened there from the time that you became MP to today, I guess. Do you find that it is a hopeful place still?
Well, it's not exactly hopeful as far as the social conditions are concerned, but I get annoyed when there's such a stereotyping of the downtown east side, because there are many, many positives, too. There's the people are poor, but and the majority of people are poor, but they have committed them, a lot of them have committed themselves to community action. The Carnegie Center, if you ever go into it, has really thousands of people coming and going. It's like a second home for people who live in either on the streets or in rooming houses in the downtown east side. So there are problems, and certainly some of that is being, it's top of the agenda for discussion here, but it's very important that there be more affordable housing with the services that people need.
Your time in the Commons, you sat with some notable figures, I guess Trudeau, Mulroney, and others. You liked John Crosby, did you?
Oh, I was amused by him. Yeah.
Did you follow parliamentary affairs regularly?
When I was in the House, what do you mean?
Or today?
Well, I follow them in a newspaper, reading the newspaper and listening to the news. What did you have in mind?
Well, I'm just wondering what you think of the state of our members today, as opposed
well,
to any other.
Well, I've been back a couple of times in the last 2 years, and I sat in on the House, and I couldn't stand it. The behavior of people was terrible. I mean, we weren't angels when we were there. We did stop pounding desks and so on. But it's so disrespectful, and I wouldn't want any children to visit Parliament these days, because it's certainly not an example of the way our government should act and our elected people should act.
You'd lost you'd run in the 1993 election and had lost. Was losing difficult for you?
Well, yes, I was very disappointed for the people in the riding and people who'd worked so hard for me, and I was disappointed because we always felt, particularly in Vancouver East, with the needs that there are here, that the NDP was the best party to represent them, and there were a lot of factors, of course, but I was disappointed, yes.
And how do you feel about your successor now? She's also an NDPer, Libby Davies.
Oh, she's a wonderful woman. I worked hard to get her, first of all, to agree to run, and secondly, to win the nomination and the riding. And she's just wonderful. I get regular news items from her. She's, I think, one of the most active MPs there is, and has people, not just locally, but around the world.
The reaction to the book has been what so far?
It's been very positive, yes. It's self-published, which makes it difficult to sometimes do with the promotion. But we've had a lot of events. There have been a lot of events that I've been speaking at. We've been promoting the book and selling the book. And we'll be going to, I'll be going with a friend to Toronto in the, probably in June. We haven't got the date exactly yet, late May or June. Starting sort of a cross-country tour. But it seems to be going quite well. I hope it will. Anyway, we've got lots of books to sell.
And the reaction from your family, especially, because a lot of it is personal stuff that you write in one part of the book that you had specifically written this for relatives and for family members. How have they reacted to the book?
Oh, they really appreciate it. And I don't have children myself, so it's mostly nieces and nephews we're talking about, and my own remaining brother, and family relatives in that generation. But they all seem to be very proud, and they're all asking for more copies. So it's nice to have a sort of a memoir that's fairly readable. It's not an academic production. It's really pretty down to earth. And I think the kids have enjoyed it too.
It is highly readable. The other interesting things that I was just thinking about, and I'd read the book a couple of weeks ago, was that you do lead quite an active retirement, do you not?
Oh yes, I've been quite active, especially now that I've got this book to sell.
And you've traveled a lot in recent years as well.
Until the last couple of years, my walking ability hasn't been so good in the last couple of years, so. Although I've been to South America and so on, it's not quite as frequent as it used to be.
Well, Margaret, it's been a real pleasure to have you on, and I must say I did enjoy reading the book, and I thank you for your time today.
Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for calling.
The book is called No Laughing Matter, Adventure, Activism, and Politics, $24.95 from Granville Island Publishing. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plantum.